Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Looking at the final play again on the NFL Network as Joe Burrow goes to his right, same as he did with the touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase in the corner. And Mike Gesick, or no, it was Hudson. Right, it was Hudson that was guarded. The flag could have been thrown. I actually prefer that they don't throw flags in the late stages unless it's egregious. I always err on the side of fewer flags, not more flags. But I think what most people want is that it's consistent, right? Most people want that you call it the same way for both teams. And what we know about this particular crew, it's crazy how this has changed in the last, say, 10, 15 years of NFL coverage, is that now, even when it comes to officiating crews and their head referee, people are extremely familiar. Fans are familiar with who they are and how many flags they throw and whether or not they tend to err on the side of more yellow laundry or less yellow laundry. So Tanner Hudson, he is unable to haul in that pass from Joe Burrow. And yeah, it was a little bit high. Maybe there's a hold before that. You know, there were questions for Joe Burrow after the game. Did you feel like you got held? Maybe a face mask. And he said, I don't get those calls. So there could have been flags thrown. But at the same time, there are always potential flags that can be thrown on every play. Just be consistent about it. And in this particular case, in this game, that drive, that final drive by the Bengals was actually extended multiple times, first by a 4th and 10, and then by a bunch of different flags. So the Ravens got penalized a bunch on that final drive. So the Bengals able to get in there, get the touchdown, the third for Ja'Marr, and have the shot at going for two. They could have gone for the tie, but I dare say the way their defense had played in the fourth quarter, that probably wasn't an appealing option for Zach Taylor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're off and running week 10 in the NFL. Happy almost Friday to you. Goodness, with all the excitement over this game and also the stress of getting to work, I think my brain is finally locked in, a little flustered last hour, so that's on me. It's just that when you think you have time to get stuff done and feel like you've got your routine, your pregame routine, if you will, in locked in, and then you end up sitting in traffic for double the time that it normally takes you to get to work. I will just cop to the fact that I ran into the building feeling like I was, like I wasn't going to be ready. So that's my fault. I think I'm okay now. Thanks for caring. I appreciate that. We'll try to cut down on the stupid mistakes that I made in the first hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio to find me online, then also on our Facebook page. We have just posted the After Hours Game of the Week poll. So you can find that on, well, on either of our Twix accounts right now. I'll get it up on Facebook as soon as I can. But we're giving you what I think are some really intriguing options. And the fact that we're not talking about traditional matchups other than, say, Denver, Kansas City, that's an AFC West battle, but that we're looking elsewhere for games that are appealing and that hold some attractiveness where maybe they wouldn't have, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, like Steelers and Commanders. The number of times in the last few years where Commanders games, especially second half of the season, have been largely irrelevant, certainly overlooked, or their stadium's been full of fans from the other team or just empty. I mean, we've heard different Commanders players say over the course of the last few years, not this season, of course, but that it's frustrating that they don't have a home field advantage in their own building, in their own stadium. This is not the case anymore. This is one of the great stories of the 2024 season. And Pittsburgh as well, sitting on top of the AFC North. And so we'll look at that game that will take place in D.C. on Sunday. Also, the Sunday night game. Was this the week that Sunday night got flexed? Or is that coming up later? It's later? Okay.
Next week, I believe.
I know we had a game that had gotten flexed from out of Sunday night. Oh, I think it was the Jets, wasn't it?
It was originally Jets-Colts.
Well, the NFL makes a really good choice there. But Lions and Texans is the Sunday night game, so that'll be a lot of fun. Do you guys remember it was the beginning of the 22 season when the schedule came out and it was revealed, and this is already in Dan Campbell's, it's early in his tenure, but it's already in his tenure, and none of the Lions games were in primetime. None of the Lions games were on national TV in those primetime windows. And he had the classic line. We've used it as a drop so many times over the last couple years, especially as the Lions have gotten better and better. Who says we can't get flexed? And he was right. They got flexed the very last game of the year. If I remember correctly, sometimes the deets are fuzzy, but that was the game in which the Lions knocked off the Packers at Lambeau Field and prevented Green Bay from making the playoffs. It was the last Sunday night game of the season, and they finally got their wish. They got flexed, and all the Packers had to do in that game was beat the lowly Lions. See, I'm thinking Detroit. Not done with the mistakes, I guess. So they only had to beat them to make the postseason, and they were at Lambeau, where they'd run roughshod over the Lions for the most part during Aaron Rodgers' tenure. And now Detroit is in prime time all the damn time because of how good they are and what potential they have. So Lions, Texans, 49ers, Bucks. Now there's a reason we're excited about 49ers, Bucks. Tampa Bay desperately needs a win, and so this is a huge weekend for them. They've dropped three in a row. Todd Bowles is no longer yelling at the top of his lungs about how exciting the season is, but just like Joe Burrow said, there's always more work to be done. As for the Niners, they finally are expected to have Christian McCaffrey on the field, and Kyle Shanahan, it's looking good when Shanahan can afford to be snarky when asked about his top running back.
I do feel good one way or another. Okay. It's been two good days, and I'm just kind of messing around, but yeah. I mean, he's been awesome these last 2 days, so hopefully that continues to go well, and expect to get him out there, and you never know for a setback or anything, but mm-hmm. these 2 days have been great, and expect to see him out there.
That's our Bay Area affiliate in San Francisco, KNBR, and Kyle Shanahan. They do expect to see Christian McCaffrey out there on the field, which is great news. And I don't just mean for the Niners. I do hope that he is healthy and we see him juking all over the field over the course of the second half of the season because he's good for football. He really is. Not only was he the consensus number one overall pick in many fantasy football leagues, but he is fun. He's got such a versatile skill set. He's explosive and he's fast and he's powerful. And sometimes you look at the packaging and you think there's no way. Of course, part of the deal that comes with being who he is that he does deal with a bunch of injuries. Shorter guy. I wouldn't say he's slight in stature, but he's carrying a lot of weight, carrying a lot of muscle. He gets hit a ton as well. But Kyle said he looks awesome these last 2 days. They're hoping for no setback. They do expect him to be on the field for their game against Tampa. So that's another reason Niners-Bucks is one of the options for after-hours game of the week. And then, yes, Broncos and Chiefs, which we'll talk about. It's maybe a new... I don't want to say a new era because that might be overstating it a bit since the Chiefs are still unbeaten. But it's maybe a new wrinkle in the AFC West in that it's not the Chiefs and every other team below 500. It's been that way for quite a while. But the Chargers are sitting on 5 wins. And if you missed my conversation with Amy Trask, who, of course, was working in the West for a long time as the CEO of the Raiders, are really familiar, of course, with that division and the rivalries. She and I talked about the Chargers and why there's so much excitement around LA now. They're not playing second fiddle to those Rams there at SoFi Stadium. Jim Harbaugh, and she goes into a bunch of her history with Jim Harbaugh and why she believes he really can be the force there in LA that turns things around. Also gives a fun anecdote about Jim and Al Davis. We got a tremendous response to our conversation with Amy on Last Night's Show. We always do. It's posted on both of our socials at A-Law Radio and also our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Chargers are at 5 wins. Broncos dropped last week, and that one was to the Ravens. And they got manhandled pretty well. That defense had been playing good ball, but they were shredded by Lamar and Derrick Henry, similar to what the Bengals were in the fourth quarter of tonight's game. But still, you've got 3 of the 4 above 500, and that's a shift inside that division. So Kansas City, will they move to 9-0, or will the Broncos, with their 5 wins, get to the Chiefs? And rivalries, you kind of throw everything out the window. 855-212-4227. Greg is in Michigan. Greg, welcome to After Hours.
Oh, my God, Amy, it's Mr. Positive. First time to call you, I think. We've talked on Facebook.
Hola.
Yes. I got to ask you, What do you think of the Lions? How far will they go? I think they're going Super Bowl bound. I think we're ascending. I think maybe a little bit of the Kansas City Chiefs are ascending. But I think the resume of the Kansas City Chiefs is the only reason someone would say that they could beat the Lions. Just because they've won 2 or 3 Super Bowls in the past
five years,
it's great. But I think the Lions, right now, as we speak, to Amy Lawrence, I think the Lions are a more complete team. What do you think? Am I onto something?
Well, it's hard to know until they go head-to-head. Of course, the Lions look terrific. And yes, I do believe that they can beat their opponents a variety of ways. The one thing they lack, which they got more of last season, is the experience in those close and late situations, those late game situations where they're pushed to the brink, or as is the case with the Chiefs, it seems like they play their best football when they're down by double digits, really. And those types of situations are in no way daunting to the Chiefs, whether it's the biggest stage in football or whether it's your run-of-the-mill week 6 game. They thrive in adversity because they've been there so many times. I do think that what you have with the Lions, and I know they were in a 10-0 hole against the Vikings, right? So they're learning. That culture is there. It's going to take maybe a few more games. And, of course, they would have a few more games in the playoffs on those stages until they would get to the Super Bowl. I do think they absolutely have the potential to get there. Right now, they're the best team in the NFC. It's just that the reason the Chiefs are the toughest out in sports is because there's nothing this core group hasn't seen when it comes to pressure. They thrive under pressure, and that's what the best teams do.
Wow. Nicely said, Amy. Hey, thanks for taking my call, and everybody, go for your dreams. Thanks, Amy.
I appreciate that, Greg. Good to have you listening in Detroit. I like the Lions. I think everybody likes the Lions. What's not to like? In fact, Nico, did you grab the clip that I asked for? Okay, so producer Pete, if you know what I'm talking about, I saw this earlier in the week and I loved it. It was a little bit of a montage that was put together. It's kind of a clip of an interview that Carissa Thompson did with Dan Campbell, and it's from the NFL on Fox. And it starts with Jared Goff. Now, I don't have this part on the clip, but it starts with Jared Goff giving Dan Campbell a game ball in the postgame locker room and just talking about how proud they are to have him as a coach. And then it moves to this clip between Thompson and Dan Campbell. And I grabbed it because I feel like it really does underscore why the Lions and why guys who know Dan Campbell will run through a wall for him.
Jared Goff said that you're the best leader that he's ever known.
You know, I appreciate him saying that. I do. And that means a lot. And I love this team. You know?
You can tell.
I don't want to let them down. So, because they won't let each other down. It's a special group.
He actually tears up. And I appreciate that Carissa let him talk. That's one great quality of an interview, is that you allow your guest to talk and don't feel the need to fill every single empty space. But Dan Campbell tears up over how much he loves the group and how he doesn't want to let them down. And not the other way around, though I suspect it does actually get reciprocated by the Lions in their locker room. And I love that. Thank you, NFL on Fox, because of the fact that you get to see Dan Campbell's heart. And I had said this to Amy Trask as we were talking about Dan. She's a huge fan of Campbell, too. And if you haven't heard the interview, there's great insight into Dan Campbell and what he brings to the table. But the fact that his character building, his culture building is foundationally about relationships is huge. Because when things go horribly wrong, they don't crumble in that moment, right? When things go horribly wrong, they're still playing for the guy on their left and the guy on their right, which means because it's not all about them individually, there's a little more to it. It's corporate synergy, if you will, where it's not just the individual pieces. The collective group is greater than the sum of the individual parts. Chemistry is built a variety of ways in sports. It can be built through winning, of course, and winning at times can mask a lack of chemistry. But what we see with teams that go through adversity, and I would say as much as, you know, the Lions are near perfect this season and they've been blowing teams out the way the Chiefs have not, they have had some adversity. They've lost a bunch of guys on their defensive line. They've lost their best pass rusher. We certainly know that Jared Goff has been through the ups and downs of an NFL career. He was traded, he's blindsided a la Survivor by the Rams when he got traded. And the vitriol that he faced a year after helping to get the Rams to get to the Super Bowl, it's crazy how quickly fans can turn and sometimes teams can turn on their own. And so there's adversity that Jared has faced, and he's bringing that into this mix as well, not to mention the veterans they have on their team. And yeah, part of what makes them battle-proof, if you will, battle-tested, is that they really are about the internal and not about the external.
I think you get caught up in sometimes, you know, not only the bad stuff, but the good stuff at times. It can be dangerous. So, yeah, you just try to keep stacking wins. People are going to keep telling us how good we are now, and then if something were to go wrong, they tell us how bad we are. So that's how it goes, and just try to keep coming to work, put your head down, go in a hole, and keep stacking W's.
Jared Goff calls Dan Campbell the best leader he's ever had, the best leader he's ever played for. And it's evident that Dan sets the tone and the identity for this team. Is Lions Texans, also a first place team, the best matchup, the after hours game of the week for week 10? Well, you can find that poll at Amy After Hours or My Twix, and then I'll get it up on Facebook here as soon as we get to our break. Ravens have won 7 of 8. You want to talk about a tough out because of their experience? Yes, but they do have a fatal flaw. That pass defense got exposed by Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and some of the others on that Bengals offense. So we're off and running into week 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Does in the gun with Chase Brown to his right. Three receivers in the game. They all go out to the left. Burrow will look to throw. Moving to his right. Now he throws over the middle. Nice. And it's caught on the run. Chase at the 45. Angling toward the far sideline at 30. 20. Nice. 15. 10.
Boom.
5.
Boom.
Touchdown. Nice. Ja'Marr Chase does it again.
Unreal.
He's dancing in the back of the end zone. Turning a short pass over the middle into a 67-yard highlight.
Shotgun. Burrow. Step. Throw. Deep shot. Looking. Middle of the field. Got his man. Ja'Marr Chase is gone. Chase will take it all the way for the touchdown. He's standing at the one and now crosses over for 70 yards.
From the 5-yard line, Burrow catches the shotgun snap. He throws it into the end zone.
Boom.
Chase
Boom.
Makes the catch
Boom.
On the back line for the touchdown. And it looks like the Bengals will go for two with 38 seconds to go to try to win the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On both the Bengals Radio Network and Westwood One, a career performance for Ja'Marr Chase. And he said he was open on the two-point try, though, of course, the ball was knocked away from the hands of Tanner Hudson. Yeah, the numbers are gaudy, to be sure. It was a lot of fun to watch him. And a couple of those touchdowns, broken plays by the Bengals or by the Ravens defense, and Ja'Marr Chase, you can't make mistakes like that against him. 11 catches, 264 yards, three scores, including what could have been the tying score in the final seconds at Baltimore. Instead, they decide to go for two, and they don't make it. How do you waste a performance like that from Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? I think it actually adds the insult to the injury, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ja'Marr was asked about their inability to finish games.
Were you open on the two-point conversion?
Yeah. I'm always open.
Can we hear the other Ja'Marr Chase, please?
I think we just got to find a way to finish. We've been doing this. Every loss we had, we didn't finish. So we just got to find some type of way to finish.
So Ja'Marr wants them to find some type of way to finish, but that's hard to know, right? And then we talked to Mike Petraglia last hour, and what he's talking about is that the defense doesn't really have any answers. They're admitting that they don't have any answers about how they're going to be able to slam the door and maintain these leads when they have them, but feeling like they've got extra pressure on them because the offense is doing so much and putting so many points on the board. How much more can you ask of them? Our poll is now up on our Facebook page. What is the After Hours game of the week? I found an old GIF this time. It's funny. If you remember the movie scene, it is funny. But it's maybe going to apply in a different way than what we saw with Bengals and Ravens. And that's all I'm going to say. Not every game goes down to the wire the way that this one does. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We mentioned having CMC back on the field. So that's not only something to look forward to, but could offer the boost for the Niners. Thing is, it's not just about the production you're missing with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he certainly has a skill set that most people do not have. And to not have him at any point during the season in that backfield with Brock Purdy has made a difference. But they have had some really impressive production in the wake of Christian being out. Jordan Mason has stepped in, and he's third in the NFL in rushing yards per game. So that's humongous. Now, he was dealing with an injury going back before their bye and coming into the bye week. But then you've got rookie Isaac Garendo, who stepped in as well. Every now and then they'll throw Patrick Taylor out there. Those are your other backs on this roster. And because of the veteran leaders around them and a mostly solid offensive line, you've got guys who are able to run the ball. Running the ball has not been a huge glaring miss for the Niners. It's just that Christian McCaffrey commands a different type of respect for defenses. Now, what will happen with the workload? Shanahan has indicated they'll kind of go on a play-by-play, series-by-series basis. They don't think that Christian McCaffrey's injuries are about being overworked or about having too many touches, though tendonitis is one of those things that develops over time, and there really isn't any way to heal it except just to take time off. So then you have the question, how long will it take McCaffrey to get back into game shape? Because it's one thing to be in great shape, but these guys are world-class athletes, maybe not the offensive linemen. Sometimes the offensive linemen, but they carry a lot of extra weight, poor guys. But these guys are in great shape. It's just one thing to be in shape, entirely another thing to be in football shape. So I'm excited to see him back on the field. Also really looking forward to seeing Micah Parsons back on the field. Will we see him coming up this weekend? Well, the Cowboys believe so. He's been back at practice. He was talking himself about being out of shape and the fact that he was sucking wind after practice on Wednesday, I think it was. But also, he's got the ability, just, again, same as Christian McCaffrey, because of who he is and his resume and what he's able to do, he's got the ability to change the way that teams game plan, even if he's not 100%, even if he's not completely ready, because of the fact that you know what a force he can be. Do we have his comments from after practice on Wednesday? If we do, let me know. He has his podcast called The Edge. And obviously the big question now is, can the Cowboys even dig out of the hole that they're in?
We've been here before. We can overcome this. We've been better. There's people that's, coming off of injuries. Me, myself, DB, and, a few other players are shaking back from the injuries they had. But obviously, we got to face this. We got to overcome these challenges and, controversy and get ready to play. We got a big division rival coming up this week. And I would just say, the biggest thing is we're probably just beating ourselves for the most part.
That's true, right? We see that a lot with the Dallas Cowboys. Same as what we were talking about with Mike Petralia about the Bengals, is those mistakes that kind of shoot yourself in the foot, so to speak. Although I sometimes wonder about that cliche, why would you ever shoot yourself in the foot? But I do get the meaning. It's fairly clear. So Dak Prescott is on IR, expected to be out for at least a month, though some of the reports about the tendon being ripped off the bone indicate that he's actually going to be out longer than just the 4 weeks that would be required for IR. And what else are the Cowboys going to say except, we trust Cooper Rush, we believe in Cooper Rush? Nope, I'm not. I was going to make a political joke, but I draw the line in politics, so I'm not going to. But it is funny in my own head. Cooper Rush is stepping in, and he's got some experience, but not the same skill set as Dak Prescott. So it's what the Cowboys have to say, but you wonder how much confidence they really do have.
We've connected. Just going out there, we've taken a lot of reps outside of practice, just talking, communicating, getting on the same page. I feel like that's very important, obviously, with the situation that's coming up, and I'm happy for him, obviously. We know what Coop can do. The confidence is still there, obviously. He's standing there and delivering.
The time's pretty much the same. The week-to-week process is pretty much the same. I mean, practice, you're obviously getting more reps, doing more things, but it's exciting. This is why you work. This is why you prepare to go and start.
So Cooper has said his approach remains the same. And I heard Mike McCarthy say the same thing. We have confidence in Cooper. And yes, the experience is there. He's got a handful of starts going back to 22, right, when Dak broke a thumb that he broke in 22. And that was early in the season when it was first week of the season. And so Cooper was the guy who had to step in and he started 5 games and they won 4 of those 5 games and then were able to hand off to Dak Prescott again. So the hamstring injury could take longer than that. But the season is not just starting. It's been a massive disappointment, and they're sitting at 3-5, and here come the Eagles on Sunday, which is a huge deal, right? I mean, the Eagles are one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and no shortage of motivation, kind of like what we saw with Bengals and Ravens, no shortage of motivation when it comes to getting up for this game, if you will, and wanting to maybe be the final nail in the coffin for the Cowboys. Jonathan Mingo, we'll hear from him a little bit later on. He's joined the Dallas Cowboys now, so looking for a spark, really anything that they can add to their team to kind of help turn things around. But you may notice in the After Hours Game of the Week poll that, yeah, these are atypical. These are not your traditional matchups outside of Broncos and Chiefs. There is no Cowboys-Eagles in the poll. What do you think about that, Marco Belletti?
Well, it's always tough when you lose a quarterback and you stink.
Right, right.
Let's be fair. The Cowboys,
but the Eagles are playing really well. And I think some people will be excited, if you're an Eagles fan or you just hate the Cowboys, be excited to see them get hammered.
Yeah, and we'll find out. I'll be fair. I think you're a little higher on the Eagles than I am. I feel like Philly has done a nice job of getting wins, but they haven't played nearly as well as they need to.
Well, this is a bigger test. I know it's still a losing record, but Dallas is one of those teams. Well, division rivals, just one of those situations where you kind of throw stats out the window. I think Saquon Barkley's terrific. You were here last night. We were talking about midseason MVP in the NFL, and there were some dark horse votes cast for Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. He maybe doesn't have the same number. Oh, well, he's got good numbers, but I don't know that people are going to say he's been as important or as critical as Derrick Henry, but I would still say among the free agent pickups or guys who change teams in the offseason, he's got to be there in the top five with impact, if not in the top three.
Oh, no doubt.
And getting back A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith has been huge as well. Defense, still a bit of a work in progress. It's not nearly as good as it was. But the offense, to me, looks more like the team that they were the year they went to the Super Bowl. The ability to run the ball has been huge for them.
Yeah, and look, and Barkley brings a totally different element. There is still something there, too, with the Nick Sirianni, whatever that is, because there's something that's a little off. And I don't know if it's his relationship with Jalen Hurts.
Marco's not a fan of Nick Sirianni.
You know what? Look, I'm all for it. If you want to talk, you can talk. That's not my thing. But there's something that's kind of missing. And I feel like it goes back to last year when they had to have they aired it out. And Jalen Hurts was tuning out Nick Sirianni. And then they bring in a new offense coordinator. So he's not calling the plays. He's not doing anything with the offense. He's not doing anything with the defense. And it's kind of like, well, what the hell's your job here? So, like, there's something that's still missing. Now, they can turn that around with just playing a little bit better. And they've gotten better as the season's moved on. But it's not fully in sync for me. And I do feel like that is still something that could crop up and creep up, because they still make some head-scratching decisions, even when they go for two, then not go for two. It's almost like, it almost feels like Sirianni and the rest of the team are on different pages, and that's not good. You can't get to the ultimate goal with your head coach and the team having a disconnect. And I feel like they're almost winning without harmony. That's not good for the long haul.
Now, if you look at their schedule, so some people have pointed to the schedule for the Eagles and the fact that it's not really challenged them. You kind of alluded to it as well. Their wins. Now, they did beat the Packers. That was the opener. And Packers are a playoff-bound team more than likely.
In Brazil, yeah.
Right, in Brazil. They beat the Saints in week three, which is kind of funny considering the Saints at the time were 2-0. But remember how...
And it was a nail biter at the end.
Yeah, it was. That was a weird game. The Eagles had four turnovers, if I remember correctly.
And didn't score until the fourth quarter, if I remember.
It was rough. Yep, they got blasted by the Bucs. So that was a team at the time that was in first place. They've won four in a row now, but they've been Browns, Giants, Bengals, and they were able to hold them to 17 points, and Jaguars, which... That one doesn't give you a whole lot of brownie points either.
No, it's the Bengals win. That's the best win that they've had. And I know you could say, well,
other than Packers.
Yeah, but it was week one. It was in Brazil. It was down to the end. They did a nice job of coming back. It's a good win, but it's week one. I almost kind of throw week one. I can't give you a ton in week one because nobody knows who the hell anybody is and nobody knows what's going on. So I'm not going to go back. Like, we get into week 15. Well, week one, no. That's a different world. The Bengals game was a great game. That was the one where it was like, you know what? Maybe it is starting to come together. But then they followed it up with, let's be fair, an ugly game against the Jaguars where they won, but it was ugly. They haven't put it together. The record's there. They've won four straight. All these things, all the signs, if you look at it from the surface, points to, oh, the Eagles are fine. There's still something not right with Philadelphia. Now, could they fix it? Of course. It's easier to fix when you're winning. But there's still something that needs to be fixed. They keep playing the way they have this year. This is not the team that's going to make a run like they did a couple of years ago, go to the Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen. They need to fix some things, and including getting your head coach and your quarterback to maybe get in the same room and have a conversation, because that helps. That definitely helps.
You really think they're not talking?
The reports were last year they didn't, at the end of the year. And then Nick Sirianni came out and said, I need to do a better job. It's my fault. I apologize. I need to do a better job talking with my club. Now, Jalen Hurts also needs to do a better job of growing up and talk to the head coach, whether you like what he's saying or not. So everybody's at fault. Everybody's at fault. They've done a better job, but it feels like, again, I'm not in the locker room. It's the reports that you get. It feels like it's Hurts and Kellen Moore that are getting more and more on the same page, and that's good.
That's important.
But you need the head coach involved in that as well. It can't just be, well, I talked to the coordinator. That's a marriage that's not going to work. So they need to still mend the fences, and you can do that with more W's. More W's, the easier it gets.
But it's not a candidate for After Hours Game of the Week, and we blame that on the Cowboys. However, you can always do a write-in vote. So find the poll at Amy After Hours. Also on our Facebook page, I did throw it up there as well. It'll run. Last week, we didn't have producer Pete, so the poll ended sometime on Saturday. I was on top of a mountain somewhere and wasn't able to retweet it, and it kind of ran out before I could share it again. But this one runs all the way through. Actually, we have a Germany game on Sunday morning. This one runs through the start of those games on Sunday, so you have a little more time to decide if it's really tearing you up. It's, let's see, it's 855-212-4227 after Bengals and Ravens. Happy Almost Friday to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. Back and forth in Baltimore. Bengals getting what seemed to be the game-tying score with 38 seconds remaining, but decided to go for two in the win.
Burrow takes the snap. Ravens bring blitz pressure. Burrow throws to the end zone. It's incomplete! It's incomplete! And with 38 seconds left to play, the haze in the bar!
Ravens able to turn aside the two-point attempt, survive the Bengals 35-34 thanks to 28 second-half points. Call courtesy of the Ravens Radio Network. Lamar Jackson, 290 yards passing, four scores. Derrick Henry, 68 on the ground, a touchdown as well, while Joe Burrow threw for 428, four touchdowns. Three of them going to Jamar Chase, who had 11 catches for 264 yards, but Baltimore able to sweep the season series and prove the 7-3 Bengals are now 4-6. Meanwhile, Christian McCaffrey continues to practice, hoping to make his season debut Sunday against the Bucs.
As long as everything goes well, it has in the rehab, so just as long as he doesn't get sore and have setbacks each day with practice. Usually if you get that in practice, that means it's going to be worse in the game. So hopefully he can string together 3 days in a row and not have any of those.
That's head coach Kyle Shanahan. Cowboys expected to put Dak Prescott on IR, reportedly due to part of his hamstring being off the bone, but still nothing as of yet. Cooper Rush will look to duplicate the magic he had a couple years ago, leading Dallas to a 4-1 record when he subbed for an injured Prescott. Trevor Lawrence unlikely to play Sunday against the Vikings, dealing with a shoulder injury. In the NBA, the Bucks looking to put to bed a 6-game skid.
12 to shoot. Dame's at the top of the arc now. Pulls up just inside the arc. Knocks it down. Damian Lillard, automatic right there himself. He's got 31.
34 in all for Lillard. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 31 points, 16 rebounds. Bucks roll the Jazz 123-100. Call courtesy of the Bucks Radio Network. Rest your scores. T-Wolves overwhelmed the Bulls 135-119, courtesy of a 45-24 fourth quarter. Anthony Edwards poured in 33 as all five starters had at least 14. And the Spurs, they were too much for the Blazers, 118-105. College football, Coastal Carolina outscored Appalachian State 38-24. East Carolina drubbed Florida Atlantic 49-14. And college hoops, one game top 25. That was 21st-ranked Florida disposing of Jacksonville 81-60. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Herbert changing the play. Disley going to move left to right.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Now going to move right to left. Herbert rolling to his right, sets his feet, takes a shot downfield, two wide open, 30, 25, 20. Turn on the Jets, Quentin. Touchdown, Chargers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chargers are on the upswing. We'll see whether or not one of these teams in the AFC West can beat the Chiefs. They've been running the table in that division, even if they don't get every single victory. Remember last year they lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, and it was really the catalyst for them. Their recent 14-game win streak was born in that adversity. It was born in defeat. And I think that's the sign of teams that have more to do, if you will. A sign of teams that are not so consumed by the minutia in the moment that they forget big picture. Now, you have to balance both, of course. But the Raiders were sure. Antonio Pierce told us they had figured out a way to defend Patrick Mahomes. And, yeah, it's a nice blueprint. Sure, of course you want to get to him. You want to hit him. That's pretty much the blueprint for any quarterback. And limiting any quarterback is you want to get hands on him. You want to rack up the hits. You want to rack up the pressures. You want to put bodies in front of him and all around him so he's more contained and can't evade and extend plays. But it's one thing to know it. It's entirely another thing to do it. It worked out on Christmas Day for the Raiders, but it has not worked out since then. And so the Raiders were the spark. Remember, I was talking about the dying embers. The Raiders were the spark that put the kindling on the Chiefs, and they'd been kind of scuffling around until that point, and since then have not lost. It's funny, I got an email from a radio station, one of our affiliates in Canada, north of the border, in Toronto. And they had asked me to be on the show with them. Now, I think they do video calls, so it's a little bit harder to set up that time just because I'm not waking up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and doing a video call pronto. And the Saturday is another option, and that's kind of hard too. So we're trying to work something out. But they had asked me back at the beginning of the season and just had a lot of stuff going on, and producer Pete was just starting. And so it was pretty crazy all the way through October. So I reached out to them this week to say, hey, would you like to try to reschedule this now? And the PD, Mike, writes back to me and says, well, since we last spoke, the Chiefs still have not lost. Yep. But in large part, that's due to their winning culture. Of course, it's due to the leadership and obviously what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. But it's not just him. This is not a one-dimensional team. What can the Chargers do, right? What can they do in order to put cracks in that dam, if you will? Same thing with the Broncos. They'll have their opportunity this weekend. But we had talked to Amy Trask about Jim Harbaugh. She raves about him. A lot of people do. If you play for him, it seems like once you play for him, you're a Jim Harbaugh disciple, or you work with him, or you work for him. And so he's quirky, to say the least. Now, his brother John, also quirky, but not nearly as quirky weird as Jim Harbaugh. And I caught this soundbite from him talking about the fact that there's still so much time left in the season. I don't want to give it away because the joke is all his. But yeah, he was kind of talking about the middle of the season and how much real estate there is left to go.
The middle of the season is always critical that way. Like Bill Belichick talks about the middle eight in a football game. I mean, there's a middle eight in a season too. You could break it down, that way. Six, seven, eight, nine. I mean, those are important games. The only joke I know is, why was six afraid of seven? Because seven, eight, nine. Six, seven, eight, nine. Those are big games.
Okay, I'm not sure if that classifies as a dad joke, but it might. A dad joke to a little kid, and he manages to work it into the press conference, and he does it with a total straight face. Seriously, I watched this video first before I had the guys cut it, because 7, 8, 9, and he never cracks a smile.
6, 7, 8, 9, those are big games.
And then he goes right back into the football part of things. All right, let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. You can check out the GIF. I try to be creative. GIFs are not really my thing, but I'm getting out of my comfort zone, you guys. We've got the After Hours Game of the Week there. And so we're giving you Broncos Chiefs out of the AFC West. Niners Bucks for obvious reasons. Both those teams need a win. Niners are in a weird space. We don't see them in this space. I take that back. A couple years ago, they started out 3-5, I think. I'll have to go back and get that exact number. But remember, they'd had issues before Brock Purdy became the full-time starter. They'd had issues with their quarterbacks getting hurt, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, yada, yada. And so they have been mediocre at times, I guess, to start the season. So have the Bengals, right? They've always been able to pull out, at least recently. So here are the Niners sitting at 4-4. Cardinals are on top of the NFC West, and the Rams are right behind them. Same record as the Niners, but they've also won 3 in a row. So those are two of the hottest teams in the NFC. And then you've got the Seahawks at 4-5. So it's just odd to see the Niners. Can Christian McCaffrey be the spark? Well, maybe, but that's not been the only issue. However, never underestimate what one guy can do to kind of bring everybody back together and on the same page, and seeing him work and the fact that he's back in the lineup also can just provide an emotional lift for these guys too. So that's one of the options for game of the week. Then we're giving you Steelers Commanders, which I'll say right now is your front runner, and Lions Texans as well. Now, coming up, I've been wanting to tell you this story all week. And since we're talking about, well, I'm talking about burning embers and throwing kindling on the fire, it feels like a good time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
7, 8, 9.